The following is an at-will presentation.
Welcome to Infinite Positivities. I'm Jenna Ushkowitz. This is a show where I take topics from my book, Choosing Glee, and speak with inspirational people about how to live a positive life. Chapter 19, Exploring Our Inner and Outward Selves. Last week, I spoke with stage and screen actor Ben Platt. One thing that really stuck out from our conversation was how Ben uses his time on stage to work through his inner world and anxieties. There's been so much written about the introvert-extrovert spectrum lately. A lot of people have this misconception that all actors and performers are extroverts, but I'm actually an introvert at heart. There's a part of me that requires and loves being social and extroverted, but another part of me prefers to be alone and can be pretty shy. Spending so much time on stage lately and doing interviews with other Broadway actors over the past few weeks, including my interview today with Bedlam's Sense and Sensibility star, Andris Nichols, it got me thinking a lot about who we are as people on stage and who we are when we're off stage, both literally and metaphorically. And while not everyone makes a living on stage or on screen, we all have the mask that we wear in public and our inner private selves. So, before we get to Andris, we're going to take to the streets to ask people where they fall on the introvert-extrovert spectrum.
Would you consider yourself more of an introvert or an extrovert?
Let's see. I would consider myself more of an introvert. Extrovert when I'm at work, obviously, because I have to, talk to people.
But when you go home?
When I go home, I'm comfortable with the people I live with, so it's not very hard to be extrovertish.
I think an introvert, although I can fake being extroverted.
What does that mean?
It means I can turn it on when I need to.
Why do you have to do that?
So I can have friends.
Are you more of an introvert or an extrovert?
It depends on where I am. Both. I have a good split. I prefer being introverted. I prefer being in my space doing my thing.
I'm an introvert. If it were up to me, I would probably never leave my house if I didn't have to. But not in like a bomb shelter sort of way. Just like I have a natural tendency to be more reserved. And I appreciate isolation.
Andris Nichols has received several nominations and awards for her theatrical performances. Her current role in Bedlam's sold-out, award-winning, and critically acclaimed production of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility has been met with equally rave reviews. I recently had the privilege of sitting down with her at the At-Will Studios to talk about what it's like to juggle the inner and outer self worlds of the actor and the characters she brings to life on stage. Andris, yay. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Hi.
Are you an introvert or extrovert?
I'm actually probably a bit more of an introvert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shocking, right? Actors as introverts.
I think I've learned to be more extroverted as in recent years as I've had to be. My preference would be to sort of hang out with people one at a time and mm-hmm. stay pretty quiet. And but I get a little bit of social anxiety when I have to go into a room full of a ton of people. I don't know for sure.
Growing up, were you that way as well?
I think so. Yeah, I think I had a lot of close friends, but they were sort of I was close friends with this person and then close friends with that person, and not one of those kids that hung out in big groups so much.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah, me too. I like my couch.
Yeah, me too.
As actors, I feel like there is some sort of stigma that we must be extroverts, right?
Right. Yeah, we must love standing up in front of tons of people and holding court.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That we must be, the most friendliest people in the world that love socializing all the time. Why do you think that is, though? Why do people, aside from the obvious that, we're in
on stage in front of thousands of people.
Yeah, but that's such a different kind of energy, and it's not a social energy. I don't find it to be social. I think it's very intimate energy and very personal.
Do you find it therapeutic too?
I guess I can in moments, sure. I mean, I feel like definitely I've gotten to know myself really well through a lot of the work that I've done. Every time I have to kind of play a new role and have to figure out where I interface with that character and that human being, I get kind of clearer and more articulate about things in myself that I maybe hadn't named, you know, before. Yeah, I don't mind audience. Audience is such a different thing, though, than like being in a party.
I know. Well, Ben Platt, who was our guest last week, he was saying, like, we were talking about when you do a cabaret or some sort of black box theater, you know, performance, it's so much scarier than doing something for 10,000 people. Like, I could do that any day of the week. You could ask me to sing for 10,000 people. But if you put me in a room with five, I'd be sweating bullets.
Yeah, no, it's five is terrifying. Five is terrifying.
It's just, I mean, it's intimate, right? And like, very vulnerable. Like, you really have to show yourself or something like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that a lot of the stuff I've been doing lately, I've done in smaller, more intimate spaces, and I've gotten better at that. But it's true. The fewer people there are in the room, kind of the scarier it is.
I know. So you started Bedlam. Founded Bedlam.
Yes, Eric Tucker and I founded it together in the very early, well, we did our first production in 2012.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you.
That's awesome. You guys have had a great body of work and, you know, great response. What made you want to start a theater company?
Well, I had, Eric and I met up at Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts. And a couple of years later, I hired him to, or maybe it was just about a year later, I hired him to direct a production of The Libertine, the Stephen Jeffries play that I wanted to do. And in working on that, we found that we actually worked really well together as producers and just as two people trying to get something done and up. And we had very much the same aesthetic and agreed on the art and the approach to the whole thing. And, you know, both of us were willing to stay super late with rolls of gaff tape and try to make patch everything together and make sure that that we were going to have set up to have the most productive day possible the following day. That was my first attempt at producing, and I quite liked it, and we liked doing it together. So I went off then after that and did a production of Hamlet on Alcatraz Island out in the Bay Area, which was a whole other thing.
Creepy.
Yeah, it was. It was really creepy. It was a very cool production, but dark. Yeah, very dark. And when I came back, he suggested that we start a company together and take a look at doing St. Joan with four actors, which was the first thing that we did. And the reasons for wanting to do it, I think for both of us, we were so aligned in our aesthetic vision and the kind of theater that we enjoyed, and theater that really can't be a movie, that really is theatrical, an event that takes place in the room and includes the audience in this kind of way.
Is it kind of immersive theater?
It's immersive. I think it is pretty immersive, just in that right from the get-go in all our productions, we definitely acknowledge that we're all in the same room together with the audience. There's really no fourth wall, and we do that even with some plays that are not necessarily designed to break the fourth wall.
Sure.
We reposition the audience often, not in Sense and Sensibility so much, which is what's running now, but in Joan and in Hamlet and in The Seagull, when we did The Seagull, we moved the audience around during the intermissions a bit so that their relationship to the play and the physical space and the actors was different in each act. And so it's immersive in that sense.
Right.
It's not like if you're sitting in the audience, you're going to be filled with terror that you're going to get like dragged up on stage.
Oh, that's good.
And somebody's going to paint you blue or cut you in half or something. It's not like that. But I mean, it's not interactive in that
right.
way.
It's like, you know, like when you sit in the audience, you're like, not me, don't make eye contact. But like, if you don't make eye contact with them, then they're like, we're going to pick her.
Right. Do you remember? Yeah, yeah. It's scary.
It's
yeah.
the most terrifying. That's the introvert in me. I'm like, totally. I can't do that.
No, I can't. Hate it. It's like my fear of magicians, you know. I don't want to be on the aisle or in the front or anywhere that's accessible when I'm at any kind of an event like that. I just want to hide.
Speaking of introverts, extroverts, do you sort of connect with more introverted characters, extroverted characters, or is there any sort of link for you?
Interesting. I don't know. Joan is very much, I think, an extrovert. She's, you know, like super full of energy and young and aggressive with what she wants and reining people in to help her. There's a certain side of me that comes out when I'm working on that role. But Eleanor's much more, in Sense and Sensibility, is much, much more reserved and introverted and shyer, I would say. That's part of me too. It's maybe easier for
me,
you know, to play that part. But I don't know. I think one of the nice things about being on stage is that I get to play with being an extrovert without actually having to.
Right. Because I'm an introvert, but I'm also, you know, socially an extrovert when I need to be. But I'm playing an introvert right now. And it's almost harder for me because I feel like it's closer to who I am.
Yeah. And then you're really, really divulging a lot of personal information about.
I know, because they're like, but that, you know, shyness. She wouldn't do that. I'm like, but I do that. You know, it's one of those weird fine lines. It's like kind of vulnerable and very soul-bearing.
Yeah.
At the same time.
I can.
But then I've played like really cool extroverts that are just like free-loving, social butterflies that, you know, can flock around and fit in wherever, and that is very freeing as well.
It is, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to really look in as an actor, to be able to be one and then play
another. Play the other thing. Yeah,
right?
It is. It's, I mean, I guess that's one of the things that's just so much fun about what we do with our lives and what we get to do for work is you get to be so many different people and find
it's like a confusing sort of thing to think about, and it's sort of like this weird entangled web. Are you a positive person?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. I'm very positive. I'm quiet, but I'm very positive.
I think you can be quiet and positive.
Absolutely.
I think that's definitely
absolutely
a little checkbox. Sure. You're doing View from the Brit.
Yeah, I just left Sense and Sensibility, and now Kelly Curran, who's an amazing actress, just took over for me, and now I am doing View from the Bridge, which is a far cry from Sense and Sensibility, I will tell you.
And what is this character like?
I'm playing Beatrice, so oof. So I've spent the last, you know, since January when Sense started running off-Broadway, I've been spending every night kind of quietly trying to get married and getting the guy in the end, finally. And now I'm moving on to kind of struggling and slugging it out in a marriage that's recently gotten pretty stressful. So she's amazing. She's, she's got a lot to do. There's just trying to talk about, you know, navigating a whole bunch of forces around her, trying to steer her way through getting this kid who's been living with them a long time launched into adulthood and married to somebody, really so that she can salvage her own marriage. But it's a delicate path, because the men in this play are, especially her husband, is a real alpha. So everything sort of has to be his idea, kind of. Mm-hmm. I think she's kind of managing up
right.
in a lot of ways, you know, and spends a lot of the play trying to resolve things without having to have a conversation about it. These are not people who talk about the real depths of their feelings so much, you know.
Right.
And she's tough.
Yeah.
And grounded and really, really interesting. I'm really enjoying it a lot.
That's good.
Yeah.
Would you call Beatrice an introvert or an extrovert?
Oh, God. Good question. I think she's probably an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I mean, she can handle the people around her really well, but they I mean, in this play, we don't really see her with anybody outside of her own family, mm-hmm. Except for these cousins that come over, which still come right into the house and become part of that family. So, but I would imagine that she's, you know, a homebody and she doesn't talk much about her feelings. In fact, she spends most of the play trying to avoid talking about the real problem until you get to the final, you know, couple of pages.
Yeah, which we won't tell.
No.
You gotta go see it.
That's right.
Have you heard of the term ambivert?
No.
Or ambivert?
Ambivert?
Ambivert.
I do not know this
word.
It's
the ability to, or a person who does fall in the middle of the spectrum between introvert and extrovert. I almost feel like that's a lot of actors.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose it would have to be. There are people who are so introverted they would never.
Right.
It would be their worst nightmare to do what we do.
Right.
Right.
Right, yeah, definitely, definitely. But then there's introverts like me and, I don't know, maybe you, where we're able to, it's because we take on other characters, that there's something to that that allows us to open up in a different way and become intimate with people in different ways.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. I wonder if that's what extroverts do.
What do you mean?
In their own way. I don't know. Do people, like, have a kind of social persona?
Huh. It's possible.
I don't know. Maybe that's what I should try to do the next time I have to go to a big cocktail party or a award ceremony or something.
Yeah.
Invent a character.
Exactly.
Ambivert. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about this, though, I feel like I don't think that's what I am.
No.
Although other people, it's interesting because my family or my sister would not describe me as an introvert. They think I'm an extrovert because they will go into a social situation with me and they say, you look totally comfortable. You're totally fine. Meanwhile, I've had
like
an anxiety attack
right, exactly.
in the cab on the way.
Sure.
And then afterward I leave and then
you're
I have
like,
all
never
the shame
again.
Of like, what did I say? What did I say?
Oh my goodness. Really? My heart.
A little bit. It's just, I'm like, oh, I handled that so well. And then 10 minutes go by and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh crap.
Did I just talk the whole time?
Have you had to be at those events lately or do you have to do those for Bedlam?
I do a bit. And I find that I'm more successful at them if I just try to talk to one person at a time. And I have to think of it that way. Like, I'm going to this thing to meet these three people and I'm going to talk to each of them individually. That kind of gets me through it. But then inevitably, there's always some moment where it's like 5-on-1 and
I know
a bunch of people asking me questions. And
that's a good way to go into it, though, just believing that you have to see three people. Because my thing is, like, I have this shame that I didn't spend enough time with other people because I'll probably stick to one person at the event.
Right.
And then I go home and I'm like, ugh, they must have thought I was ignoring them. They hate me. They're never going to talk to me ever again. That's sort of what happens. So then you're like, I'm just not going to go next time.
Right.
And you miss out.
Yeah. Or you're just home and comfortable. And
in your pajamas.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching Netflix.
Great. Yeah.
Where do you see Bedlam in like 5-10 years?
Oh, God, good question. This has been a... Well, organizationally, we've grown so much in the last year or two. we're just bringing on a managing director. We now have general managers and... whereas it used to just be Eric and I trying to do everything as best we could, we now have an actual staff of
Yay.
People who know what they're doing,
That's so tough to
which
do.
Is really exciting. Yeah. So I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure we're going to produce more regular seasons. I think that we had some kind of, you know, I think as any company grew as fast as we grew. I mean, we've only been producing since 2012, so we're just kind of at the end of our fourth season, really.
Yeah. It's great.
But it's great. It's amazing. But we went from, you know, operating on a tiny, tiny budget and doing everything ourselves to suddenly having a staff and
awesome.
Having a board and people to actually help with the fundraising and, like, a real budget. So I'm hoping that we're going to be producing more consistently.
Right.
A couple of, you know, shows or sets of shows because we tend to run things in rep in
sure.
general, a season. So, yeah.
I mean, what's it like then for you and Eric to be directing sort of or as an introvert, a large group of people like that?
Part of the thing about having a playful room is that you get to know people really well. I mean, it's interesting to go from not that I'm not learning getting to know my cast for View. I totally am. But with the Bedlam shows, a lot of those actors are actors that I knew before, people that had, you know, it's a family. I don't know how really else to describe it.
No, that's the thing, though.
It's like a very congenial room.
When you were saying before, you're like, sister, I thought you were going to say your sister would say you're an extrovert, because when you're with your family, you can be a different person.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a lot of us are just the extrovert with our family. Like, my parents would naturally say, oh, Jenna is an extrovert, totally. When, like, a lot of people would probably say that about me, and maybe about you as well, just because we do what we do. We are leaders. You know, you found a theater company.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you're with family. You're with people who see you basically naked.
Right.
And sometimes really naked. And then also, you know, like, doing these really vulnerable things and doing them together. So I think that's interesting, too. I think it's like, you can be a full true introvert, but then be extroverted in your own way.
Yeah,
it's so layered.
It is.
You're not superstitious, but we were talking about this before. Do you have any superstitions before you perform? Like, if you don't do, your show is going to be weird or off or anything like that?
I totally do not.
No?
Not at all. I know it's really weird.
I'm so envious.
Almost everybody I know has something like that.
I'm so envious of you.
No, I really don't.
That's great, though.
I will, like, eat a slice of pizza on my way into the wings. Like, I really, I don't get, knock wood now that I'm saying this. but I don't get that kind of pre-show anxiety. I don't know why. But I actually do think that part of it, and weirdly, somehow this is going to tie back into what we're talking about, at all Bedlam shows, for the most part, we kind of mingle pre-show. So we go out onto the stage in the room with the audience and talk to people. And, like, if we have friends there, we say hi to them, we see them, we walk around. So we're just out loose in the room with the audience, and then the show just kind of starts. And at first, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, that was very anxiety provoking.
Sounds devastating.
That was sort of
me.
Like the worst part, the scariest part. But now, I love that part of it, and it totally—I don't know—it just doesn't give me an opportunity to be precious about anything, about process, or about being ready for anything. Because I will just be in the middle of a conversation with whoever, and then all of a sudden the music starts, and I've got to go.
Wow!
Like mid-sentence, like, hold that thought. I'll talk to you in 2 hours. Wait, you know, and go do the play, which has been a real gift, because it doesn't any kind of thing like that I did have a few years ago, I think, has been pretty much knocked out of me by performing in this way.
So that's interesting. Then, you know, I think if we're taken out of our comfort zones or like forced to, it's almost like you become you push yourself or challenge yourself to, like, become a different side of yourself, or push something that you wouldn't naturally like. And just, like, it becomes, like, second nature to you.
Yeah.
Or you find the good in it. But you're also a positive person, so that's
it's true.
Good thing too.
I choose to embrace it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
choose to embrace it.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's, but, yeah, there's something about it that, like, really, so that even from the second it starts, you've already made eye contact with most of those people that are in the room.
Right.
We are definitely all in the same room together. There's no us and them.
Right.
So everybody feels like they're embarking on the journey of the play.
Together,
yeah. And there's something really relaxing about that, and energized and playful, but it definitely doesn't leave any room for, like, right before I go on, I have to run all my lines
process.
In my head, or, like, I have to, you know,
have your coffee and
have my coffee and
have
then
your green,
like,
juice. And
yeah, exactly. And, like, do the cider vinegar thing, like, right before I no.
I'm crazy. I'm so envious of you. I'm envious of you. I'm not gonna lie. Is there anything in particular that you would have to do for yourself to play a particularly exuberant or extroverted character?
Well, actually, it's okay. So, St. Joan, when we do Joan, which we're doing again, at the, it's going to the MacArthur in January, February.
Awesome.
So right after I get back from View, I go back and do Joan and Hamlet at MacArthur. And when we did it off-Broadway at the Lynn Redgrave in 2014, the dressing rooms were all on stage and the doors were open. So whatever I did to warm up was visible to the audience from the top of show. And for that, I tend to like warm up like maybe if I were going to throw a javelin or something. Like I feel like I do a lot of like arm swinging stuff and jumping. Like I leap around a lot. I feel like I know it sounds so ridiculous, but just to get my energy up high and to kind of even out any energy in my body so that I'm like really buzzing by the time we start that, because she bursts on at like a 10.
Wow. It doesn't have to be just actors that wear these masks or these characters or hide behind these characters. You know, I think everybody in life has some personas they put on when they're going to parties or personas they put on when they don't want to really be seen or be so vulnerable or, you know, open up to somebody. I think there's something to that because it definitely helps me as an introvert to go on stage and to have something to I hate to say hide behind because that's not what I live my life.
No, you don't mean that, though. You don't mean
I don't.
It's like, but there's something about it that actually ends up being more exposing. You're actually not hiding, right?
Right.
It's weird. It's like a thing that gives you permission.
Yeah.
To be more exposed.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
To be more vulnerable, to be seen.
But yet, you know, like.
Even more.
That's great because, you know, people who aren't actors who want that, I think that's acceptable. Do you think so? Like, I think it's okay not to hide, but to put on some sort of persona, even if it's just for them to go into that job interview and to get that job.
Oh, sure. I think people definitely do.
And I think that's...
Wear those sorts of masks. Absolutely.
Some people would say that's a negative thing. Like, we'd look at that and say, like, oh, but you're hiding behind it. It's okay. It's acceptable to go out there and sort of do how you want. Do you.
Yeah. No. And to play that way. And to do, I mean, we all have different ways of preparing ourselves to, presenting ourselves to the world in ways that make us feel more comfortable. Or
public speaking, pitching, anything like that.
Totally.
Congrats on View from the Bridge.
Thank you.
Congrats on Bedlam being so successful and continuing to have great seasons and do great work.
Thank you so
really
much.
Really grateful to have you here.
Really fun to be here.
Thanks so much for joining me on another episode of Infinite Positivities. Bedlam's production of Sense and Sensibility will return to the gym at Judson for an encore run through Sunday, October 2nd. I'm so grateful for my role in Waitress, but to be honest, guys, it's seriously kicking my butt. So we're going to conclude this season of Infinite Positivities for now, but we'll be back with a batch of new episodes soon. Follow me and @WillRadio on Instagram and Twitter for updates, and look out for a bunch of new shows we're launching in early September. And if you want to connect with me on another platform, I'm working with this really cool app called TipTalk. So download it to chat with me. And the best part, all the proceeds go directly to my nonprofit, the Kindred Foundation for Adoption. Until next time, always remember to be true to your inner and outer selves.